This is going to continue to proliferate.
Oh, wow. Did you look that one up before we started?
I had to concentrate, get all the syllables in.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me as always is Donna Grindle of Cardin Compliance. What's up, Donna?
What's up, David?
Guess where we're going today?
I know, you're so excited. I know you can hardly stand yourself. You're not even doing the normal chit-chat. You're getting right to business.
I know.
Just because you have new toys to play with.
Well, we'll get to that later at some point. We are taking listeners on a fishing trip.
Yeah, we're going on a fishing trip.
Not a F fishing, but a PH fishing. So we're going to talk today about what fishing is, not the pole with the hook and the worm and the regular fish, but how people are attacking you and getting information from you so that they can get into your stuff. Get into your stuff. But before we do that, tell us about what's going on in your life.
Oh, now we're going to do this?
Yeah. Yeah. I got to tell people a little bit about what's going on.
I've been busy bee. You know, lots of things happening, and it's a very exciting time for us. And I haven't had to talk to David a lot, so I've been really doing well lately.
What?
What?
What are you talking about? What you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about? I've been doing a lot of training. I did 5 different training classes this week on site somewhere different, and they were all different and interesting.
Yeah, that's different and interesting. Yeah. So, as we publish this, we're getting closer and closer to the HIMSS conference.
That, or at least to the deadline for us to get our early bird discount.
Yep. So if you're listening to this and you're going to be there, be in the area, let us know. Send us an email and we'll see if we can't hook up and let you buy us a drink.
I don't know. I was thinking about us setting stuff up and maybe trying to do some recording down there. We always threaten to do it, but this might be the time to do it. I mean, it'll be the time to do it. We have more time to, you know, it's a longer conference and
we can wear our like media passes and all that.
Yeah, I don't know. You keep trying to get us in that door. I don't know how it's going to help us.
Give me a fedora with one of those little press things sticking out the top of it.
Yeah, carry a little flip notebook.
Because you know I take notes.
Yeah, really. You'd be saying, Donna, did you get that?
Yeah, exactly right. So fishing, this is something that even though you and I follow this stuff and we know what it is, for a lot of people, they have no earthly idea what we're talking about when we say phishing attacks. But in healthcare, as with, you know, pretty much every other sector, it's really been on the rise here a lot lately. As a matter of fact, you and I both have been, I don't know if I'd say victims of phishing. We didn't fall for it, but we do get phishing attacks quite regularly.
Mm-hmm.
That by email, which is the most common way, but I've even seen and experienced phishing attacks through text messaging here lately.
Yep.
So it's not only a big problem, but becoming an even bigger problem. So we're going to talk about that today.
Yeah, there's all kinds of types of phishing, and I guess that goes both ways. Mm-hmm. See, phishing spelled phishing. Mm-hmm. Is what happens yet again when you let nerds name things.
That's fantastic.
That's how we have Yahoo and Google. You know, Google it. Yeah, there you go. There we are. So, and I think this has to do with the banned fish, though. So, but at any rate, there's all these different types of fishing, and a lot of people will just hear fishing and they lump it all together. But we have to become a better understanding of it, because they're coming up with some great ways to trick people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's socially show dead. Well, look at that. Early on, I've already gotten tongue-tied. They're using a lot of social engineering and all kinds of things, which is an example I just sent you, a recent one that I received that was... they did the social engineering part, but they made it really obvious to someone like me that it was not good. It was not real. So it's paying attention. And until we have everybody paying attention, this is going to continue to proliferate.
Oh, wow. Did you look that one up before we started?
I had to concentrate and get all the syllables in.
So this goes back to what we've talked about before, about number one, the people element is the biggest problem.
It's the people, people.
Because it's the person that they're attacking. Now, this is not the systems. We're not attacking the network and we're not doing all these other things. We're attacking the person. And, you know, you just talked about the email you got. Had you, because we mentioned this not too far back on a podcast, that if you're in too much of a hurry, you're not paying attention, that's when it gets you in trouble. And, you know, fortunately on this email you got, you paid attention. You took a second to look at it and picked up on some of the problems. Otherwise, it looked like it came from somebody that you knew and it was legitimate and all that. Even though there were some really big red flags that stuck out at you, still, if you were just flying through your email, you probably would have missed it and you could have been a victim.
Mm-hmm. And it would have been very bad, I'm sure. Because at that point, everybody'd say, I don't want to work with you. You can't even protect your own self.
Protect yourself.
What about yourself?
You know, there was a song in the 80s, Protect Yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get talked about something different. But anyway. Yeah. So phishing. We got the phishing spelled with PH. And that's kind of a, as you've got it in our notes here, kind of a spray and pray. So it's not targeted. It's more like we're just going to throw it out there. I think they should call it net phishing. Because it's just you throw it out there and you just kind of see what happens and see if you get anybody that falls for it, which is.
Well, that's, you know, when everybody says, why do they want all these email lists? That's mm-hmm. why. They just grab the whole email list. They bought it from somebody who hacked somebody and just let it spew.
Or for that matter, you can buy a list legitimately and just throw it out there.
Yeah, true that. But why would they do that if they're already criminals?
Well, you know, they could be part-time criminals.
We're going to buy this legitimately and then use it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, David, bless him. Bless your heart.
It don't take me 5 minutes with you and I already start getting crazy. So the next one would be spear phishing. And spear phishing is the one that is aimed at you.
Yeah, it's actually aimed directly at you, trying to make it look like it should be coming to you, which is exactly what the one I got was.
Mm-hmm.
It said, and granted, the subject got my attention because it said, I thought it was weird because it said forward re-FW on the subject. So all of a sudden, that's weird in itself. And then it says, attorney will contact you. So that's going to make people look, you know, holy crap, mm-hmm. an attorney. What's going on? Thankfully, I have attorneys contact me normally, but most people would just freak out. And so I had to see what it was because it was from the name looked like it was from a business partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had spoken at their conference recently. So our names were together on the same page, promoting their conference. So it would be easy to just use a bot and scan it and find those two together. And it was from them saying, you have a new Zix Corp secure email message from them and open the message. And then down below it said, if you're opening this isn't working, copy and paste the link below. And it's game-message-portal.com/a-whole-bunch-of-crap. I'm sorry, but an attorney is not going to talk to me about healthcare with Game Message Portal. So, no, not happening.
So, you caught it.
Well, thankfully, I wasn't in too much of a hurry. But, you know, actually, you know, we can't do emails in a hurry anymore. We have to read them.
Mm.
You know, reading the screen. I know it's hard for you, David, but you can sound it out.
Well, you know, the worst people are always the ones that I call them click happy. I don't know what you call them.
Oh, yes. They're just the clickers.
Just click everything. And it's, you know, I won't say who it is, but but it's a family member. They call me all the time with stuff. And I'm like, how did you do this? You know, it's, well, I just pulled this up and started clicking all this stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, would you stop? Do not get click happy. That gets you in so much trouble. What you say is I'm going to kick the door in with a 40 caliber and go, move your hand from the mouse.
Hands away from the keyboard.
I know. Anyway, I digress.
Put down the mouse. Put down the mouse.
I know. You know, a keyboard and a mouse is more dangerous than a bomb these days.
Mm-hmm. You can have all of the helicopters and everything coming in. Send in the SEALs. We've got a clicker.
Oh,
make them stop. But, you know, there's some cases, and we've got some cases to go through here, that this is directly, I mean, we're joking about it, but it could, you know, if somebody could have stopped some of these from happening, they might have brought out anything that they could, all the firepower they could, not to actually hurt somebody, but to make them put down the mouse. But spear phishing, it was when it really started. You know, they are very creative. They do the social engineering. They make it look like it's something urgent and meant for me from someone I know.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, you know, the visual of someone, you know, doing spear phishing, which is not easy, the actual spear phishing thing itself. But the catch of a spear fisherman is usually quite tasty.
So we also got a few more. We'll just cover these terms, just so you know, because no one's have to battle, as they say in G.I. Joe. Whaling is another one, and that's the spear phishing that's pointed directly at upper management of a company with urgent business matters. And Don and I both have secondhand experience about this, where people have targeted upper management, and it's cost them lots and lots of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to tell a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we mentioned this on a previous one, but the place where my wife actually works, since I don't think they listen to the podcast, I think I'm safe. But not only that, but the person who did it is no longer employed there.
I wonder why.
But somebody in upper management got an email from the finance person, and it basically said, we need you to wire $500,000 to pay for XYZ to this address. And it was something that would be legitimate, and it would be a legitimate request for this company. And so the guy did it. And about 45 minutes later, a phone call came through, and it basically said, thanks for wiring that money. However, something happened and we didn't get it. So can you do it again? And the guy was like, sure.
Oh my God.
And so he did it a second time for $500,000. We come to find out none of it was legit. And $1 million later, they found out it was a phishing attack.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Yeah. And that's the kind of targeting that has been very lucrative, and it continues to be.
Mm-hmm.
So the whaling, they're trying to get you to also take it a step further and give up information about the company, even so that they can, you know, whether it's the bank needs something and I can get to your bank account, or a financing company or venture capital. I mean, it's they do enough work to really aim and put a lot of effort into it. It wouldn't be as bad and as easy to notice as the one that I got.
Mm-hmm. But people put so much of their information on the internet anyway, especially with social media. You know, they'll tell you where they're at, where, you know, I love the ones that say, you know, can't wait to go to Cancun next week. My house will be unlocked if you want to come break in. I mean, might as well say that, but it's just, you know, they tell people so much information that it doesn't take a whole lot to look at somebody's social media accounts and hit them with some type of a spear phishing attack.
Mm-hmm. And it's the social media gives it to you, but I mean, even things like, you know, like LinkedIn and doing legitimate things that as a business we would want to do, publish that the meeting of the company where I was a speaker. I mean, it's not doing necessarily that kind of oversharing kind of scenario. So mm-hmm. that allows them to do the spear fishing, the whaling. And then we also have the soft targeting, which is another one that's coming out. And that's kind of like a combination of spear fishing and fishing. It's kind of in between, because instead of the spray and pray and see what we can get, it actually says, okay, this kind of email should go to an HR person. So the HR person is going to get something that might have a resume, a CV, some of that stuff that would be normal email for an HR person to get. Whereas a financial person is going to get a spreadsheet or something attached to it to get them to open these things. And then you get the malware payload. So don't forget, phishing's trying to do one of two things. Well, it's trying to get you to do something that you don't want to do. You just don't know you don't want to do it. And it's trying to get you to take an action, like with the money and sending the money and stuff. But it also is trying to get you to run programs that would introduce malware and ransomware onto your network. And so a lot of the soft targeting is pointed directly at that. So if they can get you to go to a website where it's going to initiate some sort of malware and get around your defenses, that's their plan. So the soft targeting, you know, it says here, I know you're an accountant and I'm going to send you a spreadsheet and make it look like somebody you know or something that you would normally get. So there's that. And now we also have telephone phishing. So they just call up and act like it's somebody that should be calling in and asking you, hey, this is Donna with IT. I need your login. And people are like, oh, okay, you're with IT. And I've always said that all you really have to do is have the ability. You walk in with a computer or you got a tech name on your shirt or any kind of badge or whatever, and you say, I'm with IT, I'm here to work on this computer, people will just get up and let you do it.
Yeah, they will, for the most part.
Yeah, you know, if it's a tiny company, maybe not. But, and then the other thing is, not only will they just get up and let you do it, but also, you would then be right there in, well, you're right there in the middle of everybody talking, and they share a lot of information there, too. So they overshare in front of you and you just sit there and listen. So all of those things are just ways to trick you.
And before we jump into some examples of some phishing attacks in healthcare, I got a few facts. So I was looking at a website and I noticed that there are some facts that are out there in certain reports, and some of them are pretty interesting. Like, for instance, targeted attacks on businesses with fewer than 250 employees has increased significantly. And that's kind of goes with the whole, oh, I'm too small. Nobody wants to, you know, get my information. No, you're the low-hanging fruit.
You're the gateway drug.
Yeah, and that was from a Symantec Internet Security Report. Now, Trend Micro Report has a one that they said that 91% of targeted attacks use spear phishing emails. So, yeah, a lot. Verizon says that more than 95% of attacks tied to state-affiliated espionage employed phishing. Lots of stuff. And then last report said that 82% of all social media attacks, this was in 2013, had fake offerings. So I would venture to say it's a whole lot more than that now.
Yeah, so. This year it really exploded. You know, whereas we had a few years ago where malware was the thing and all these viruses were everywhere and then everything got smart enough to block them. They said, well, the hardest thing to secure is the human. So let's attack the human. And it's working.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so much, you know, if you give you the ability to do your work, we have to give you a certain authority to do things. So there's ransomware attacks happening daily. I mean, big ones. I'm well aware of some of them.
Intimately aware of some.
I'm intimately aware of things that are going on in the world today in some cases. It's why I sound kind of tired. It's not me, though. It's not me. My job now is to advise. I told a CTO this past weekend that you didn't have to, like, take things down to a non-technical level. You can tell me what your findings are at a technical level. I used to do that, but I got so tired of the stress that you're under right now, I couldn't do it anymore. Yeah, can't do that. But it is clearly 90-something percent of spam have some sort of malware payload now. Mm. So the spam filters are catching a lot of it. But if it's good enough to fool you, it's also fooling the filters. And people don't get, you know, they just expect, because they've gotten used to the spam being filtered out, so you don't get all of that junk mail you used to get anymore. Mm-hmm. Spam filters are good at it, even though that stuff's still flowing like crazy and I don't understand why.
Yeah.
But now they're getting better and better at it, and I guess it's the ones that are practicing. And again, going for the low-hanging fruit, people that don't actually turn on their spam filter, or they would look and respond to some of these things. So it's still happening. But again, it's the people.
Mm-hmm.
And statistically, it's clearly growing because it's working. So there you have it. I'm done with that.
You're done with that.
You have any other statistics, David? Because I know you like that.
I don't, but I do see that we had some telephone phishing scams that Blue Shield of California subscribers,
mm-hmm.
They got hit to the sum of 21,000 people.
Yeah, boy, that was exciting, wasn't it? Can you imagine being that poor person? You know, it is interesting how many people will start to confess to the IT department when something happens. It's all of a sudden you're like the priest. I never really understood it until I've seen it in action. Just how many people will do that. So they start confessing. But this one, 21,000 individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Bam.
Ouch. And then they got to provide monitoring and all that for 21,000 mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. And this was at the first part of the year. So this is a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Blue Shield said they're working internally with vendors to improve the overall security procedures in order to provide additional protections of personal information.
Well, that was the key, where somebody just called up and asked for something. You know, I need your mm-hmm. login. Okay. Here you go.
Well, the good thing about all of this, as we go down this list, is that, you know, it's all something that can be solved by putting a little bit of time and effort into employee training and detection and all this kind of stuff, which we'll talk about before we end here some other ways.
Oh, and the thing before we move on from this telephone one is it's the Blue Shield patients were hit, and Blue Shield had to make the breach notifications, but it was a business associate that fell for it.
Oh.
Yes. So those 21,000 patients were things that the business associate had access to. So think about, not only, this is why we talk about asking these questions about the security protocols and the things that your business associates are doing. Clearly, it matters, and there's going to be more and more of these cases, because as healthcare starts getting better at it, because they have no choice, they're under such attack, they're going to get better at securing things, then they'll fall to the next level, which is essentially, you know, all the business associates that are tied into them, because now they're learning all the interconnected stuff, and healthcare has such a huge surface area, there's so many ways they can come at it.
Mm-hmm.
So ask the questions.
So then in June, we saw that there were some medical records that were used in a telephone phishing scam in Chicago.
Yeah, that one was last year. So everybody asked, why do they want this data? This was an absolute perfect example of what they do with this data.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you answer the phone and they say, hello, Mr. Smith, I'm calling about your Zofram prescription. And
yeah.
You get that call, and they say this information, I got this, blah, blah, blah. And they try to recruit you to get into some class action lawsuit against the drug company and all of this kind of stuff and tell you how horrible the drug is. And you need to do these things to be part of this. And then, of course, you have somewhere down the road, you're going to pay the lawyers or something. So you know that several people will fall for that because we're going to sue somebody and you're going to get some money out of it. You just pay us now.
Mm-hmm.
And this drug is hard, hard, hard. And they got the patients' names and the drugs that they were on from a healthcare breach. So, Right. Yeah, they can do a lot of things with this data. We talk about them stealing identities, but what about other stuff?
Such as?
That, you know, using it to target people that have a certain diagnosis, using it to target. So it's that targeted attack. So, and these people, while they, all of them aren't honest hackers like the Dark Overlords.
Honest hackers.
We're honest hackers. All of them aren't that. The majority of them wouldn't think twice about targeting cancer patients and offering them, we understand, blah, blah, blah. Here are some miracle cures. You know, people will mm-hmm. fall for it. They'll make money off of it. Or any other serious illness that they can come up with, or any other way that they can, next time you hear about an adverse effect of a drug, they're going to be going after people.
Yeah.
Because they can pull that information now. And I'm worried, you know, between Peachtree Orthopedics and Athens Orthopedics, that's 1 million patients almost in North Georgia alone.
Ouch.
You know, just in this part of the state. So I can't imagine like where Advocate Health had 4 million. And Chicago, it was after the Advocate Health breach that they started doing it. So we're going to see it definitely occur.
So in February this year, Magnolia Health had an incident, and this did not involve PHI. You know, we talk a lot about patient information and all that. This actually was the employee's information. Mm-hmm. It said an employee responded to an email that appeared to have been sent by Magnolia Health CEO Kenny Moyle, and it was a spreadsheet containing the details of active employees. As requested. However, they found out later in that week that, guess what? Nobody actually sent the email. And so, pretty much all the employees of the corporation was exposed to whoever they sent the information to.
Mm-hmm.
And
all of those employees.
Yeah. And I like what they say down here in the article that, you know, technical solutions can be employed to reduce the risk of data breaches, although staff training is one of the main ways healthcare providers can lower the risk.
Mm-hmm. it's just keeping it in your mind. I mean, we walk around paranoid all the time, so we're constantly expecting horrible things to happen. People look at us sometimes because we're like, don't do that. Something horrible could happen. Wait, have you double checked, triple checked that before you click it? Don't do it. Don't do it.
Just don't click.
It's where I'm supposed to be. I promise. But because we're super paranoid, and I've had people say, I finally listened to your podcast. Listening to your podcast, I finally found somebody more paranoid than me. And I'm like, awesome, because that's kind of my job. But clearly, if we are diligent enough and pay attention, we can reduce or mitigate the damage these things are causing. So train. Train. Yeah, but it doesn't end well when you keep going with the song. We got to come up with a, you know, what comes next after chain.
I'm sure we can figure something out.
Yeah, we got to come up with something else. But that same thing that happened to Magnolia,
mm-hmm.
Same approach happened to St. Joseph Healthcare in New Jersey. So an employee gets a request to send a list of employee names, social security numbers, earning data, all of that stuff. And it was during tax season. So they're like, oh, okay, you know, I'm used to this. And so they sent it, 5,000 employees.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's never a good thing. But it, you know, thankfully it wasn't the patients. But again, they're realizing the size of healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's huge. So there's so many opportunities there. And then there's the one, and this is the one that I, this is the one where I can't, I read Mainline Health and I know, but I don't know. Mainlining. So, this is a similar kind of scenario happened this year. An employee received an email saying it was from the hospital CFO, that asked for very specific payroll information. And so the employee did what they were supposed to do. It's coming from the CFO. And they sent the information just very, they didn't notice the difference and sent it back. And 2 days later, another employee gets a separate request for employee's W-2 information. And that employee said, oh, this is crap, and just deleted it and moved on. She saw the CEO said, that she saw he had signed it. The guy's name is John Lynch, his name, and a given name, but he goes by Jack. And when it was signed John Lynch instead of Jack, the second employee was like, not doing it. But that was just a case of, oh, well, I'm smart enough to blow by this, so I'm not going to do it. But they didn't report it to anybody because those happen every day, right?
Right.
So nobody asked the other employee anything. Until they published an IRS bulletin on spear phishing and how it worked and showing everybody. And that employee who had sent things said, uh-oh. I should tell somebody. So at least they did the, we should all freak out together.
Yeah. Well, they're supposed to do it.
Yeah. So they told everybody and they you know, had to deal with it. But you get those phishing campaigns at least once a day. And some of them look really, really good. And I mean, I one of the reasons I love that we use, or I'm happy with using Google Apps, which is now called G Suite, if we can keep up with the names, but is Gmail has one of the most advanced email searching tools and all these other things, but especially spam filtering.
Mm-hmm.
And so we generally don't see many. Anytime I want to use one as an example, like if I'm doing a class or something, I want to get a recent one to use as an example, I just go into my spam filter, start looking. I'm going to find one. Doesn't take long. So it's very rare that one actually gets through. And it just so happens that that email, I mean, that's somebody who does email me regularly,
mm-hmm.
that one got through. But it's very, very rare. And so I'm really pleased with that, but we still have to be vigilant because, again, it's happening every day.
Yeah.
So while there's a lot that we can do to keep them from getting to us, it doesn't mean you're never going to see them. So it's coming through, and they look really, really good. And like I said, if they're looking good enough to fool you, they've also got to look good enough to get past all of our defenses.
Well, that brings up a good point, too, because I've heard this argument before that people say, well, I have antivirus, I have anti-spam, I have threat management device on my network, I have an IT company that's watching all this, and you know, and then when something happens, they get mad because something got through. But you know, what some people don't understand is nothing is 100%. And that's why
what they also don't understand is that one got through, but 50,000 didn't.
Right. Yeah, it's possible too.
Yeah, just last month. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I was looking at our network reports yesterday, and just on our internal network, we had 1,400 intrusion attempts last month. And they all got blocked. That's just, you know, crazy amount of people trying to break into a small network.
Yeah, it's just... And you know, that's not even like targeted attacks either.
Mm-mm, no.
You know, so the targeted attacks are even harder to block. You know, those are the ones where, you know, that's where a lot of the BAAs will have a thing in there because it says you're supposed to notify them of every unsuccessful scans and all this. Let me just go ahead and notify you every day.
You know? Yeah.
In fact, I can do it every hour because it's going to be constant. So we're constantly under attack by these. So if we block 50,000 and one gets through, what are you going to do? You know, it can't be 100% sure. Otherwise, I'm going to block you from getting things that you want to see.
I can make it 100% sure. I can just turn it off your internet. I can turn off your internet service, and I guarantee you won't get a virus.
You won't get a virus, but you could get telephone phishing.
Yeah.
Bam.
No, because then you got voice over IP, so I cut that off too.
There's no communication with the outside world. We will guarantee no phishing attacks.
Yep.
That's the beauty of it. So there are some other examples that are outside of healthcare that could have easily happened in healthcare that are similar to, you know, your $1 million example. And one big one here in Atlanta happened about a year ago with a Bitcoin payment processor called BitPay. And there, I mean, it looked very legit kind of request. Somebody came in and emailed the CEO requesting the transfer of 1,000 Bitcoin somewhere. And like they send it. And then, of course, requesting that they send another, same kind of thing. And they did it again. So then it got hit by 3,000 to be sent. And that one got done. And then when somebody finally said, why are you having me do this? And the email verifying it, all of a sudden, everybody went, uh-oh. And it ended up being $1.8 million in Bitcoins. Because you remember, Bitcoins are not the same. They have different values. So it's like stock almost. And so it was like... you know, a massive amount of money, that they just transferred away. And there's many cases of it.
And then they tried to get the insurance company to pay and they were like, ah.
Yeah, there is that. They're having to beg them to pay. Because it's like, look, that's there's no failure in your security other than your individual. And so anytime you see a request to export data or provide a login or any of those things, unless you actually know beyond a doubt it is that person, you know, even pick up the phone and call them. So, I mean, we have many ways, you know, that we've talked about this before. And we have a client that caught one just simply because the CEO doesn't use an iPhone and it had one of those signatures that said, sent from my iPhone on it. And it's like, oh, I know they don't use an iPhone. So it's little bitty things like that that'll save you. But paying attention to the detail is what it takes to notice little things like that and not just rush.
So what are some things we can do, Donna?
Da-da-da-da.
What are some things or tools we can do to help manage that?
Well, train. Yeah, I'm not the singer in the family, clearly. My brother is a singer. He can get paid to sing. I should be paid not to. So we have been looking at a lot of those tools out there that test you so that you send phishing emails, see how your staff's doing, keep on top of it, and it keeps them alert. And if they fail, they don't go to some horrible place. They go to some training.
That's pretty horrible.
Hey, now. So sometimes it is horrible. Sometimes it's just a picture. You've been fished, you screwed up, and all of those kind of things. And we've played around with some of these tools, and we tested them out. And I actually had an accountant tell me one time, well, he fell for the phishing thing. And I'm like, he said, well, you sent it from the bank. I actually banked there. That's why I did it. And I was like, that's the point. Oh, my God. It's just getting people to understand that that's how it works, you know, so they might get a little frustrated and all that. But the free tools, you know, that requires a lot of effort. And then there's tools that you can sign up for, but you've got to manage it. You've got to do it. And so after a lot of discussions and looking at different options, trying to help people manage training on this area, we are coming out in 2017 with a new service called the Cardin Fishing Trip.
Oh, how clever. Bump.
You don't have one of those. Really? That's where you're supposed to do it. But that is the name. The Cardin Fishing Trip. There you go.
Tell us about the carton fishing trip, Donna.
See, David has new toys and he's dying to play with them, and then he's afraid to play with them. But okay, you can cut it now, brother. Somehow I just anyhow, the carton fishing trip, we're working with a company that makes one of those testing tools, then we'll be able to control the test and we'll be the ones that can create training. We can use a combination of the training that company does as well as ours. So we're in the process of putting all that together right now. We've got a lot of people that are interested in it simply because we have to find a way to continually train and test employees so that they are alert. And if you are giving them things, and you know, our plans are to make it very realistic, and we are targeting you. Yes, I know you bank there. That's the point. So we are going to target you just like the bad guys would. And, you know, the good news is hopefully your spam filter will stop it or your protections will stop it so that you never get to our training. But if you do, the worst place you go is to me like screaming in your screen, you know, or something. I don't know. Put one of those freaky monkeys, you know, jumping out of the screen or something.
So that's pretty cool. So that way you can, employers can test all their employees out, you know, without fear of some kind of crazy thing happening. And then they can determine whether or not they need extra training or they passed and things are going well. That's good. Yeah. I like it.
And so with us working on it, it keeps them from having to figure it out. Because every time we would talk to somebody about using these tools, they're like, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to figure out how this thing works. And, you know, we actually work with this kind of stuff all the time, so it helps. And, you know, I don't know about the training and is it going to help and all of these other things. We can just take care of that for them. So we will run the test and give them the results and help them know where their problem areas are. And we're even discussing that some people may be putting in their business associates. Why not? You know, there's no rule that says I can't target them either. And, you know, that it'll certainly let us know. So we're working on rolling that out. It's going to be our fishing trip 2017. So if anybody's interested, because this is interesting for us, it's one of the first times we've really rolled out something that could just really any company could sign up for with us.
Yeah, because it doesn't have to be healthcare at all.
Mm-mm. Cool. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to manage it effectively and make a fair price for it. So that we do the work and you don't have to.
Yeah. And even better than that, you don't get caught off guard with a successful phishing attack.
That's the hope anyway, is that by us doing this, it'll make them more vigilant. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, employees talk. And the systems that we're planning on putting in place, it's not like we're just going to blast your whole company with it so that everybody's aware of it. You know, it's going to work like targeted phishing so that, you know, a little here, a little there, and we'll see how everybody does.
Then you can tell your insurance agent that you have targeted phishing training and stuff going on and see if they'll lower your premiums.
Yeah, really. And what they're having to pay out, oh my goodness, there's so many things with this. You know, if you're lucky enough to have gotten the cyber insurance, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been talking to people specifically about coming on the show and talking about cybersecurity insurance. So we're gonna get that. I'm pretty cool. Sure.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully, we'll learn some. Everybody else always learns. We maybe.
All right. Anything else?
I think
I'm ready to go fishing.
You're going to have some fish tacos. So that's your lunch.
All right. Very good. Well, that's our show for today, folks. Oh, man. I just love the little song. Anyway, so if you...
You envisioned yourself as Ron Howard, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I just don't have the hair for it. The red hair. If you enjoyed today's podcast, head on over to iTunes and review our show. You can also share us out on the social media outlet of your choice. Just visit us on the web at helpmewithhippa.com. You can find this podcast as well as the show notes there. And if you want to sponsor this podcast, we are accepting some sponsorship applications now. So go ahead and head on over to our website and do that as well. And if you have a question, you can post it right there on the website, and we may feature it in a future podcast. So remember, for Donna and myself, HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grindle and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhippa.com. Neither Donna Grindle or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.